Hey, everybody. Welcome to FL Teams. I'm Jeff Macalino. Alongside me, Jeremiah Hensley. How are you, Jeremiah?
I'm doing great, buddy. Ready for some playoff football.
Yeah. 18 NFL teams are not ready for some playoff football. And let's talk some of the coaching changes that we got going on. Some surprises, some expected, some why didn't they do it, and some, oh, they finally did it. I guess, honestly, before we even touch on the NFL, we should probably talk about Nick Saban leaving Alabama also.
That was shocking.
I was, you know, a friend of mine made a great point about, you know, with the changing landscape of college football, this is the perfect time for him to get out. Don't tarnish a legacy or anything like that with the NIL and the conferences still in a lot of flux. Now's the perfect time to get out, avoid the headaches. Your legend, you know, you got into the playoff in your last season with probably a team that maybe, I don't know if they were good enough that they should have been there against USF. They sure didn't look that great, but yeah. Now the chain reaction of this though is they're now going after, I've heard their number one target, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, but one thing I saw was Oregon's coach. Alabama will probably be able to pluck a coach from another high-profile university, which means, guess what? That school now has a head coaching opening. They'll pluck it from another one, and yep, that'll trickle down. I don't think it will affect, although, I mean, I can imagine there's maybe a rebuilding ACC or SEC team that would call USF and ask if they can interview Golesh. I don't think he's going to be interested in doing that, especially with a lot of talk that USF might be one of the teams taking a step into a bigger conference very soon. You know, you never know if it's going to affect some Florida teams in that way, but yeah, it's a whole chain reaction going to be set off in college from Saban.
And I think you're right. Again, next year, the playoff goes to a bigger expansion. The whole landscape of all of it changes. And once you've kind of accomplished what you're going to accomplish, I mean, I think part of the mark of a smart coach is realizing and knowing when it's time to get out, right? I mean, because you do have that legacy to protect. And I'm sure we'll touch on that a little bit in the NFL because we had some very interesting situations come up. This wasn't your typical Black Monday where, you know, like Monday, everybody just got, you know, done. This has been a different landscape of people and how the transitions have been made. So it's definitely a different look in the NFL.
Yeah. And let's start with that. And a guy, you know, who I think this just came out this morning, Bill Belichick, maybe the greatest coach in NFL history. There's an argument to be made for sure. Has left the Patriots and I thought they kind of pitched it as a mutual parting of the ways. You know, no, all of this stuff has played out in the press. I did, like, the best explanation I saw was that Belichick acknowledged this is a big rebuild that's needed, and he's too old to see it through. So he wants to go to a more ready-built roster. Now, that being said, you're looking at 8 head coaching openings, 7, not including the Patriots. Where does he fit, and which of those teams fit his? You know, I certainly don't think going to Washington,
no,
would be taking us, or Carolina. Those teams are probably in worse shape than the Patriots are.
So I thought about this today in that, yes, Belichick will be known as that, and he has this track record of what it is. But we also have to come to the conclusion that he's nearing the end of his coaching career, regardless of where he goes. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you are one of these teams with young talent and everything else, as much as a splash as it would be to hire Belichick, you also are kind of saying, you know, you got to hire another coach in 3 years, 2 years, maybe. Right. Yeah. So are who's in a win now window where it makes sense? And plus, I mean, I kind of feel like Belichick, I feel like, thinks he has something to prove because of course how the Patriots have been since Brady left. But what if he can't? You know, does it tarnish that best coach ever if he goes out with a sputter in New England and then goes somewhere else and does the same thing? I mean, I'm not giving Brady all the credit, but it's a tough situation for an organization to be in, because you're not committing long term. And I think all these guys are trying to hire your next, you know, decade, right? I mean, you want somebody who's going to build a culture. And, you know, bringing a guy like Belichick is short term.
It's a temporary measure. Yeah. No, that's a good point. One thing I'll say about the legacy is Don Shula, how long was it from his last Super Bowl until he retired? What, 20 years?
Nah.
You know, I don't think his legacy was tarnished at all. And he, you know, he had Dan Marino for more than a decade and didn't win a Super Bowl with him. Something to be said about that. But
so let's think about it, right? Like, what teams would make sense for Belichick's success plus the talent that they have?
So let's quickly just run through the list of openings. We'll start with the three teams that fired their coach in season,
mm-hmm.
the Chargers. Now, Jim Harbaugh has been big in the news with them, yeah. So I kind of think that die may be cast. Las Vegas, who maybe has the best roster minus a quarterback. However, I think they'd be idiots for getting rid of Antonio Pierce the way he stepped in. I think so, too. And the Carolina Panthers, which is a team that is so early, and they don't have their number one pick in the draft is going to Chicago.
Yeah, they gave away capital as well. So it's like they rolled the dice hard on Bryce Young. And
oh my God.
Now they're going to pay for it for the next 4 years.
Well, and not to harp on that trade, but you think about what they gave up. They gave up, I think it was the number 10 pick last year. Mm-hmm. And the number one pick this year, it turned out. A second-round pick next year also. And DJ Moore,
yeah.
who's still a young, good wide receiver. Yep. He showed he's a very talented receiver for Bryce Young. So they, in essence, gave up Caleb Williams. This, you know, they
yeah.
and they could have kept DJ Moore, the number 10 pick last year. Arguably, they wouldn't have gotten a number one pick without – maybe with Andy Dalton starting and DJ Moore in the lineup, maybe they would have won five games or something. So I guess you can't rewrite history, but boy, that trade, Bryce Young's going to have to be a really good quarterback to avoid that trade not going down as one of the worst.
Well, yeah. And look, this kind of finally washed the taste out of the Houston Texans' mouth a little bit, right? Because all the scuttlebutt, remember, before the draft was Houston wanted Bryce Young. Like, they wanted Bryce Young. Like, had the Panthers not taken Bryce Young, CJ Stroud probably wouldn't be a Texan. And so they prevented the Texans from making a huge mistake, at least what it looks like year one. With these rookie quarterbacks, man, I always go back to RG3. Robert Griffin changed the game when he first came in, and you never truly know how that's
going to pan. In the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. You don't know how it's going to pan.
Very, very good point. You don't want to assume, because 5 years from now, we might say, do you remember when we thought CJ Stroud was better than this Bryce Young kid? He's like,
right.
So it's possible. So those three spots, none of which seem likely for Belichick, although if Vegas makes the dumb decision and avoids Pierce, I do actually think that would be an interesting one. The Titans fired Mike Vrabel. I'll touch on that in a second. Washington fired Rivera. Atlanta fired that clown Arthur Smith. And they didn't even wait till Black Monday. They got it out Sunday night.
Yeah.
Seattle, Pete Carroll basically retired.
Yeah.
He's moving to a front office position. He was the only coach in the NFL older than Bill Belichick. So if you had to handicap the field, I know the initial report, I'll say, was Atlanta's expected to be interested. And I guess you could say a similar thing about them is maybe if they had a head coach with a more than a 2 cent brain and a quarterback better than the garbage that they had back there this year, but not to be a jerk, but it was bad back there. They have a lot of underutilized offensive weapons. Their defense has some nice pieces, Jesse Bates and AJ Terrell and Caden Ellis.
Yeah.
They need a little bit more up front, I think, but you know, they got some pieces in place that I don't want it to happen.
And look, and I'm not taking a shot at the other teams in that division, but that you're probably your easiest, quickest path to winning a division with any of these teams is Atlanta.
I'd say yes, but my argument is I don't think that's his goal. I think his goal is to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he has any interest in just making the playoffs.
There's a lot of talent in Atlanta, man. I mean, you think about, you know, from Bijan Robinson, Drake London, right? Kyle Pitts, who's not been used well at all.
None of them have been used well. Cordarrelle Patterson.
I mean, there is a lot of offensive, and their offensive line. I mean, you can't run the ball the way they did without having a solid offensive line.
Yeah, they're solid.
Yeah, so I think Atlanta probably makes some sense there. Seattle,
they are missing a quarterback,
but free agency, right? I mean, there's going to be guys. Look, Russell Wilson's on his way out.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think anyone's going to want to touch Russell Wilson with a 10-foot pole.
It doesn't look good when a quarterback guru like Sean Payton.
It's kind of astounding when his problem with Russ Wilson is he doesn't know how to play quarterback. He's kind of always just been a run around kind of guy, and that's his game. And he's not a running quarterback, but he's not a sit in the pocket, deliver your first read quarterback. And he wasn't doing it. And Sean Payton was designing the plays properly. He just wasn't throwing the ball when and where he was supposed to. It's going to be hard to see. Belichick's not going to want to touch Russell Wilson. I guarantee you that.
Yeah,
he would lose his mind with a quarterback like that.
And I'm a little bit off on who else is out there, right? I mean, who else?
Jimmy
would be
Garoppolo,
around?
I imagine, has a contract the Raiders can get out of.
I would think.
He has ties with Belichick. Now, other than that, I don't think.
Other than that, you're looking at a bunch of guys like probably Tannehill, some other guys that are hanging around, right? But again, any of those guys that we just mentioned, including Russell Wilson, is an enormous upgrade over Desmond Ridder throwing the ball. I mean, it's an enormous upgrade. And Taylor Heineke, I love his heart, but
yeah.
So any of those guys with those playmakers, if they distribute, Tannehill, you know, when Tennessee had their pieces together, I mean, there was a minute, you know, Tannehill took them, you know, they looked like they were going to be a Super Bowl run when he was distributing the ball to playmakers in Tennessee. I don't know how much he's got left in him, but, you know, we could see. I would say outside.
Well, they're probably going to draft a quarterback, so they just need a veteran to kind of hold his hand, I would imagine, right? I mean.
Yeah. So I would say Atlanta and then, I mean, Seattle, but then with Pete Carroll there, maybe that works, maybe it doesn't. But Seattle's also really talented. They can make noise quick.
I feel like Seattle, they made the playoffs last year. They were 9-8 this year. They've got a veteran quarterback. They've got a pretty good talent base on that team and some good defensive talent, which is Belichick. Plus, they also just had the oldest coach in the NFL. They might not mind that this is a short-term arrangement because as far as I know, they don't have a quarterback of the future behind Geno Smith right now. That they're in love with. I mean, Drew Lye, if he's their quarterback of the future, he should be the next year should be their future.
Right.
Frankly, that's the one thing I'll say. If they like Drew Lock, they need, he's going to be what, 26 or something next
year? Yeah, it's time to move.
Yeah, it's time to move. You can't just sit the guy in the bay. He's not going to be another Geno Smith who sits on the bench for 10 years before he gets a real shot at being a full-time starter.
I think you just sold me on Belichick to Seattle because Seattle, you know, moving from Pete Carroll, they already know that whoever they're not looking for their long term, they could do a 2-year guy. And there is a window in Seattle that you could think about. I mean, Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, like Tyler Lockett, and Metcalf. I mean, there's tons of talent on the offensive side. And Geno, you know, he regressed a little bit, but he had to regress. I mean, the guy was comeback player of the year 2 years
ago. But he's an adequate starting quarterback.
Right. And again, you've got solid pieces on the defense. So I think, and the other part is just this, wherever Belichick goes, any of the coordinators who don't get head coaching jobs that are in that market, Belichick will fill a staff. I think there are plenty of people that would want to come coach with Belichick and wherever he ends up. So I think his staff that he'll bring with him will be super talented.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see the interest that's out there for him. But I mean, just looking at the list of the of these spots, to me, again, Vegas has seemingly the easiest job. Just keep Antonio Pierce, so they'll probably screw that up.
Yeah.
With them out of the picture, assuming the Chargers are all in on Harbaugh, if not, I don't know that they want Herbert under Belichick either for a few years. I think they'd rather find a Sean Payton, Drew Brees type. Look, like, these are our guys. We're leading this offense together for the next decade, 15 years maybe. If they don't get Harbaugh, you know, get Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick, and he and Herbert will be Peyton Breeze or Coryell Fouts, you know, just
I'm still really intrigued with Kellen Moore. I mean, he was a big name that was out there before. Didn't he move over to become a coordinator with them after he got let go?
He was a coordinator, this year, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, Kellen Moore is an interesting, you know, you can't get worse than Brandon Staley.
I think they may want to just cleanse their palate and start all over at the coaching staff, not get a coordinator up to take over.
If you get Harbaugh, you take him. And Harbaugh would be silly
to And I leave. Think he's going to jump to the NFL.
Right. He comes in and you immediately get this thing sorted out with Austin Ekeler. Okay. I mean, you had some good running backs behind it, but you need to sort out this Austin Ekeler thing.
I just dump him. I think Austin Ekeler is one of the most overrated players in the league. Fantasy football has made people respect Austin Ekeler a lot more than I think he deserves. I think he's you could draft a rookie that's more talented than Ekeler in the third round this year.
Could be. The one thing the Chargers have that no other team on this list has, they have a franchise under center.
Franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and that's where you want to be. I mean, because it all starts and ends there.
Yeah, the argument is the only other team that I think even possibly might is Tennessee and Will Levis. Maybe. But we don't know. He's going to get a shot at least.
Yeah.
I'm certain that the Titans have no interest in Belichick because why they just got rid of Vrabel. You're not going from one to the other. Vrabel might end up on Belichick's staff potentially.
I could still see very much Vrabel ending up in New England.
Some of the reports are that Mayo's going to get the job, which I don't know if all New England fans are thrilled with that, because if you are doing a full on rebuild, maybe it's time to I don't know. It's a tough call over there. Washington is a dumpster fire. They're probably
there's only
Carolina
one reason.
Might be a worse place than Washington, but
this is why I think the name Belichick got tossed around with Washington as well. Right, there are some playmakers in McLaurin, in Brian Robinson. Okay. But here's what they do have. They have the most cap room of any team in the NFL. They can free agently put together a super team to back whoever comes in, at least for a short run. So that could be that Belichick fit of you go 2 years, you got a salary cap that'll let you do it, and you go sign. Now, not that we've seen that really work, right, in the NFL. I mean, the Bucs kind of did it with Brady.
The Bucs
and
the Rams kind of both
kind of right, but
back years.
But I've seen Miami try that many times and it didn't work, right? And I've seen other teams. Washington's tried it a shit ton and it didn't work.
Can we say this though too about Belichick? And not that it's going to happen, but this is definitely. I'll throw this hypothetical out to you because I made a statement yesterday talking to a Dolphins fan, not you, but a Dolphins fan. And this was before we knew if Belichick was going to be out there or not. And I said, if Bill Belichick coached the Miami Dolphins next year, I would bet money they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I would have zero doubt he would bring the attitude that they need to that head job. The Dolphins would be a shoe-in for the Super Bowl. Yeah. I stand by that. We're not going to get to see it. I mean, even if the Dolphins lose by 100, I think McDaniel is safe.
You know, the thing you look at again, though, is I saw this with McDaniel and Tua, is you do have to remember that both of them are kind of in the beginning of their career, right? So everybody in the beginning of their career, I mean, Belichick got the crap kicked out of him early on, right? How many times did he get fired and lose jobs? So it happens. Parcells, other guys, right? Pete Carroll. But the thing is what's good about McDaniel is the bad part, right? It's good that he's loose and he's got everybody in this sort of energy, positive sort of way. But at the same time, they make really sloppy mistakes and there's no discipline in what gets done. And, you know, we won't get into that rant, but
the calling too, man.
I don't understand why he forgets to run the ball and, you know, and special teams become another problem again. And so there's a lot to be learned there. So Belichick, I still love McDaniel as an offensive coordinator and maybe as a head coach. I'm not giving up on him yet there. I wish he would wear long pants to sound like an old man. Why don't you put on some long pants there, kid?
My one of my buddies who's also a Dolphins fan. I know a lot of Dolphins fans. He said, I can't even watch a damn Dolphins game because every time they show Mike McDaniel, all I hear is you saying capri pants wearing energy.
It's the truth.
I don't know if those are technically capri pants, but that's what I'm going to call them.
Close enough. So let's, you know, what are the other names that have been getting bounced around? You know, I did see that the Dolphins offensive coordinator, Frank Smith, has been getting bounced around on a couple of these lists.
It's going to be – there's Ben Johnson, obviously, the Lions OC. I think he is the best first-time head coach that's going to become available. Bobby Slowick, the Texans OC, who also came from Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. He came over with D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
You know, part of me wonders if that's a little premature, but at the same time, I would happily take a flyer on him if my team fired their coach, which, you know, God knows. God knows they should have. There's obviously the old guys, Harbaugh and Belichick. I'll lump them both in as old guys. I'd be curious to see what happens. I'd be curious to see what happens with some of these fired head coaches, to be honest.
Yeah.
Vrabel, I assume Rivera's probably done, but Arthur Smith's going to be somebody's offensive coordinator, I assume. Brandon Staley's going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere, right? Antonio Pierce, I'm very curious. You know who he – well, I'll touch on him in a second. Frank Reich, though. Panthers fired him. He's going to be someone's OC probably come the beginning of the year. So there's some interesting – and some of me – part of me thinks too, like, look, a Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick gets the head job, hire Mike Vrabel to – coordinate your defense and
see that, but
I'm gonna be a rock to lean on as long as the ego is not a problem.
I honestly, as soon as I saw the move with Vrabel, almost immediately I'm like, the Titans almost did him a favor, because I feel like there are better positions for him, and I think moving into a head coaching position with the right squad around him, like Vrabel in Seattle, I mean, that bring that sort of determination to that team. Right. There's a lot to be said there. And Vrabel also
Atlanta.
I mean, even Carolina.
Well, Atlanta's already got the run game established.
Yeah.
Which we know he likes. I mean, he hires, you know, someone as the OC. And I mean, that's kind of a scary situation too. If he gets the right offensive coordinator.
Yeah. And I think Antonio Pierce did enough in his interim time that he gets a head coaching gig. I think if the Raiders overlook him, I think he immediately
comes to terms with others. If he gets a head coaching gig this time, you know who he reminds me of? I started to say, you could probably guess, is Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
And what did Dan Campbell do when there was a lot of people who wanted him to stay on and coach the Dolphins and the Dolphins went another way? Dan Campbell went and was the assistant head coach for Sean Payton for 4 years or something, 4 or 5 years. And then he came out the other side and was the head coach of the Lions. And he's obviously been a success, especially considering what he took over.
So can we at least unanimously agree? Can we at least unanimously agree that we don't think Brian Flores should get a head coaching job? I just need to throw that out there. Brian Flores should not be a head coach.
I don't see where he fits in this field.
Tennessee?
I'll say that.
Tennessee, I don't know.
I don't think Tennessee. I have a feeling Tennessee is going to go the route of, we've got Tajay Spears, we got Will Levis. We're going to try to build a different kind of offense here. I feel like they're the ones who are going to be really going hard after maybe Eric Bieniemy. Keep forgetting to bring him up,
Even
though he's been a candidate a gazillion times and hasn't gotten a job.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't know that he helped his case in Washington. I don't know that he hurt it, but
right.
But Kansas City took a step back also. I don't know if some of that's just the complete lack of talent at the wide receiver position, but I mean, they didn't really have it that last year either that much. So
yeah.
I do think the league is tending to go more young offensive coaches, the Sean McVay. And look, a lot of those guys fail. Cliff Kingsbury's of the world.
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he'll probably be coaching for Belichick again
somewhere. Right. But it is, I do think also when you see a coach change, at least for me, it tells me that an organization wants to change the word that I always heard in Miami, the identity. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Change, because if the identity that you had wasn't working, find a new identity. So with that being said, I think Tennessee probably will go younger, energetic, like a more positive, because Vrabel is very much cut old style. Right. Yeah, he's a hard nose, punch you in the mouth, sort of like that's, and that works. And it worked in Tennessee.
Especially when Derrick Henry's on your team.
Yeah. It's fantastic. So I think there's a place for that, but I think you're right. Tajay Spears, Will Levis, these guys that they're bringing in, I do think they'll probably try to go a younger offensive minded guy to make a connection.
The Titans giving Derrick Henry a microphone to give a speech at midfield after the game kind of announced to me, we're not going to even try to keep him.
Yeah,
That'll be an interesting name to watch in free agency, but I digress. All right. So we got 8 head coaching openings. Presumably that's probably it. At this point, it's likely that any other names would have already come out. What team made a big mistake not being a team with a coaching vacancy? I'll let you answer first, Jeremiah.
It's going to be a knee-jerk reaction, but it's only because I saw how quickly it fell apart in Philadelphia. I don't know that you keep Doug Peterson on in Jacksonville. The way that they slid at the end of the season, I understand Trevor Lawrence was banged up a little bit, but you added so much more talent this year than you had last year. And the team regressed, and they regressed prior to the injuries. You go out and you bring in, the wide receiver talent that you did. You added tight ends. I mean, you put together a team that should have. And at the beginning of the season, I'm sure probably in our preseason, we talked about a team that could maybe make a Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. And it's not just not making the playoffs. It's the way that it happened and the losses that they had. I don't. And like I said, I saw it happen quickly in Philly. Peterson won a Super Bowl, but it's lightning in a bottle, sort of. Either you buy all the way in on him or you don't. And so I don't know. If I'm Jacksonville, I think I might have moved on.
I think he and Trevor Lawrence are both a little bit low-key on the hot seat going into next year. And look, they were like in the play for AFC home field advantage like 5 weeks ago.
Right.
Like it collapsed hard. The bottom fell out of that thing.
And don't forget, I mean, I was going to say they collapsed. No, it was the Chargers who collapsed against them in the playoffs, but they were almost getting bounced there. But yeah, I think you're right. Trevor Lawrence has got something to prove too.
Yeah, for sure. What about you? I'm going to say the obvious, to me, or the obvious, if you know me, Dennis Allen should be on his ass somewhere. And I think the Saints have massively underachieved under him. And I think it's as simple as this. And look, I get it. They won 7 games last year and they won 3 out of their last 4. They almost went on the playoff run at the end. This year, they won four out of their last five and finished with a winning record. So, no, not a lot of coaches get fired when they finish nine wins. That's reality. But the division they played in and the way they played in games, they had a 17-0 lead in the fourth quarter against Green Bay. They lost it. Now, I know Derek Carr got hurt in that game. I get it. But it's a problematic approach by Dennis Allen-led teams, and it's his philosophy. And so much has been made about that victory formation run by Jamal Williams against the Falcons, where Arthur Smith's lasting image as a head coach is going off crying like a little baby.
Whining like a bitch.
Yeah. Way to go, little guy. Go get fired now. In fairness, I also think it's Bush League that they ran that play out of victory formation. But it wasn't Dennis Allen's call. And while I understand, I also think why he went and immediately cried to the media about it and said, I apologize to the Falcons. That's not who we are. But that right there is exactly correct. That's not who they are because they don't have killer instinct under Dennis Allen. Last year and this year, they have blown so many games because they don't step on the opponent's throat. They build a lead up, 17-0 against the Packers, and they just run the most conservative, bland offense in the history of football after Derek Carr goes down, thinking that we're just going to sit back, go three and out every possession, and lean on our defense. Well, the defense eventually collapsed under the weight. They did this pretty famously in a Monday night game that decided the NFC South last year against the Bucs. They had a 13-point lead. They said, we're done with offense. Mark Ingram retired in the middle of a play, and or the game would have been over then, frankly. But he didn't. They kicked it on fourth down instead of going for it when they just needed to get Mark Ingram's lack of willingness to fall forward to get the first down. No, it's a pussy attitude. He does not have the aggression that it takes to be a coach at any level of football. You don't stop scoring points until the game's over. You don't score until, even against the Bucs in week 17, the Saints dominated that football game. They were winning, I think, 20-0 going into the fourth quarter. And it never really got scary close because the Bucs scored. And even if they got the 2-point conversion, they needed to do an onside kick and score again real fast. So there wasn't really ever scary that they were going to lose the game, but it never should have gotten to that point. Because he put the offense in a bottle and said, don't do anything. Just run the ball. Let's watch the clock and let's sit back and play defense. And eventually your defense is going to get tired and they're going to give up some points. But he has done the same damn thing 15 times in two seasons as the head coach. He does not have the mental mind state to be a football coach in today's NFL. And the Saints sticking with him is a disastrous decision because it just keeps everything back a year. I know they won four out of their last five games. I know the offense started clicking. I know, look, the defense is still pretty good despite a lack of pass rush. They still finish top 10 in defense. I get all those things, but enough's enough. He doesn't have the mindset it takes. He doesn't have the killer instinct to go ahead and score a touchdown because you're playing your rival team and Jamal Williams hasn't scored a touchdown this year and everyone on the sideline wants him to get in. Yeah. The Falcons aren't going to care if you line up and hand off the ball. They care if you do it in victory formation. Although the Falcons said that the Saints did tell them before the play that they were running.
Yeah. So I think as you were going through that and talking about his track record, the only thing playing in my mind over and over was Dennis Green standing in front of a microphone in an Arizona Cardinals shirt saying, they are who we thought they were. They are who we thought they were. And I think, again, Dennis Allen is who you think he is. And that's it. Because I think, again, the Saints, I think there were a lot of expectations, right? Again, Derek Carr getting out of Vegas and had a hell of a year, really. And you were coming in and Olave another year. Michael Thomas is coming back. So like there was this hope for this offense and talent, you would say, to be dynamic. And they were completely bottled out of that. I mean, I can't remember the last season of Derek Carr that looked as bad as last year did. It's been a little bit, I think. I mean, I know he got banged up a little bit, but there was more talent on that offensive side of the ball than what showed.
It took way week too in long week out. For the offense to get going. Yeah,
it did. And I mean, you were missing Kamara, of course, at the beginning. I get it. But what does it say, too, about underutilizing people? When Jamal Williams, he led the NFL in touchdowns in Detroit, basically running the spot that Montgomery did.
I think he's been eating too much New Orleans food or something, because he looked really bad this year.
I didn't watch him, so I don't know. I just thought he wasn't
2.9 a carry.
Yeah, that's
They didn't utilize him much, but in fairness, he was terrible when they did.
Okay, yeah. So but that's one of those.
But he also was on IR and missed four games earlier in the year. So I mean, there are some other reasons too. But no, yeah, it's just and it's 2 years in a row they fell into a hole and rallied late too. You know, and it's the team doesn't quit, but there's a lot of rumblings that the team, it's Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, and Cam Jordan in the locker room getting the players to play for themselves, not for the coaches. There's some weird things that are being said. They never talk about playing for their coaches. They talk about playing for their teammates. And I think there's more cultural problems there that they're just trying to shove under the rug because they had it nice for so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
that makes sense, because let's really take and analyze that victory formation touchdown, right? You have a head coach who is dictating to a team, this is what we're running. This is the play we're calling. This is what we're doing. The team takes it upon themselves to completely go against that and say, nope, we're going to do this instead. That shows disrespect from the beginning, right? And then your coach responds by chastising you publicly instead of, I understand what you were trying to do, guys. Jamal, he had a hell of a year. I appreciate, you know, like they were pulling for their teammate to succeed in a situation where the season was dead. And instead of him understanding that and or applauding it, they go against him, and then he chastises them publicly. It just looks like two very negative, bad things that tell you a lot about the culture.
Well, you know what? And it could have been so much easier, too. Dennis Allen could have made this all a non-issue by even saying, I called victory formation, but they in the huddle said they wanted to do this. They didn't check with me, but you know what? They did what they did, you know.
I understand why Jamal's had a hell of a year. Blah, blah, blah. He's a great teammate.
He specifically said that they came up to him on the sideline and said, we want to get Jamal Williams a touchdown. Let's run the ball here. And he said, no, take a knee. And they deliberately ignored that. And Jameis Winston's going into free agency. So I think he's like, oh, what are you going to do to me? You took my starting job away.
That's that complete lack of respect. And like you said, had Dennis Allen responded to that with, this is what we called. They really wanted to push this for their teammate. He's been a great guy in the locker room and everything else. I understand it. It's not an attempt to run up the score.
Instead, he goes out and apologizes to your hated rivals.
Right. Now, at least you
feel like... And chastises his team. Yeah.
Exactly. The team would feel like he had their back a little bit on what they did and let them know that he understood where it was at, right? There's so many ways it could have been handled. Well, but it was an obvious, we don't respect what you told us. And then I can't believe they didn't respect what I told them.
Every player has come out saying, I support what Jameis did. We wanted to get him. Every single player has come out. Nobody has said anything about it. It's all been, we wanted to do this. To me, that just screams, let's get rid of Dennis Allen. Anyone can. This team's already got chemistry up the ass.
Right.
Just throw another coach in at him who's smart. And this thing's running itself.
You know, if you remember back in your corporate days, and I still deal with it sometimes now, the sign of a poor manager and a leader is a manager and a leader who has to stand in front of his employees or his team and remind them that he's the manager and the leader and that he should be treated a certain way, right? If you have to say those words, then you've already lost this battle. If you need to be, well, I'm your manager and there should be respect for it. No, you're already done. So if you're a head coach doing the same thing, you know, I called this and they went against me on, like, you're not really making a strong case for yourself here, champ.
I'm stealing this from many people. He's got the respect of a substitute teacher.
Yes.
Yet he's getting a third year.
Ah.
And guess who's going to be sitting here and predicting the Saints to win the NFC South next year?
Right. Not on.
Only this guy.
Look, the same guy who I was talking to, a friend of mine who's a Steelers fan, and it does, it embarrasses me that somehow the Steelers always end up with a winning record and somehow find their way in the playoffs, and God love them. But if
you
I ever needed
for the
Steelers
this weekend?
No, I really want to know. I'm really pulling for the Steelers this weekend because, trust me, again, New Year's Eve, I told you and Isaac, I was in M&T Bank Stadium, and I felt that entire Dolphins, Ravens, I don't want any part of going into M&T Bank Stadium in the playoffs. Now, I mean, of course, that means you got to get out of the blizzard in Kansas City first. I'm not thinking past that. But the only way Miami doesn't have the blizzard in KC and then go to Baltimore is if Pittsburgh knocks off Buffalo.
There you go. We'll talk more about the playoffs.
Yeah.
When, who knows? It could be after this or before this, depending on when Isaac puts
when
his
it posts up. So.
But let's sign off. We'll have another show when the dust settles, maybe, and we'll talk about where coaches and coordinators landed, probably after the Super Bowl, I guess, the way it goes nowadays. So make sure you subscribe to FL Teams for all your top Florida and all sports coverage. For Jeremiah Hensley, I'm Jeff Macalino. We'll see you soon.